The Everest Mystery by Julie Summers and Jochen Hemleb. Read by Julie Summers. Forward by Sir Chris Bonington. CVO CBEDL. It seems extraordinary that the loss of two climbers 100 years ago can still evoke fascination and emotion. Yet the disappearance of George Mallory and Sandy Irvine on Mount Everest on the 8th of June 1924 remains the greatest mountaineering mystery of all time. What happened to the two men some 800 feet, 250 metres, below the summit of the highest mountain on Earth is still unknown. Julie Summers is Sandy Irvine's great-niece and a great friend to the British mountaineering community. She and I have known each other for a quarter of a century, and over the years she has interviewed me many times about my own climbing career. I am always impressed by her careful preparation and research, which is reflected in this new biography of her great-uncle. She gives us a vivid portrait of a young man at the height of his powers, thrust into an unfamiliar arena, but taking up the mantle and joining the expedition on equal terms with men almost 20 years his senior. Julie's co-author, Jochen Hemleb, is an acknowledged expert on the mystery of Mallory and Irvine. He was a member of the 1999 Anglo-American expedition that discovered George Mallory's frozen remains high up on the north side of Mount Everest. Some 15 years ago, he interviewed me for a documentary about the Eiger, and I was impressed by his knowledge. Finally a writer to whom I didn't have to explain the fundamentals of climbing. He and Julie have brought together their respective expertise and shared enthusiasm for the subject matter, along with their determination to re-examine every aspect of the 1924 climb. They have sought out new clues in the old material that give us more detail about Mallory's thinking and Irvine's brilliance as an engineer, as well as his aptitude for mountaineering. I am reminded how young Sandy was, just 22 when he died, but also how much he achieved. As Arnold Lunn, the father of British skiing, wrote after his death, "Into his short life he crowded an overflowing measure of activity, which found its climax in his last wonderful year, a year during which he rowed in the winning Oxford boat, explored Spitsbergen, fell in love with skiing, and, perhaps, conquered Everest." He went on, "It is sad to die young, but if posthumous glory is any compensation, we can console ourselves with the thought that the names of Mallory and Irvine will be linked forever with the world's great mountain and with the greatest epic in all the wonderful story of mountain adventure." I wonder if Arnold Lunn and the members of the 1924 Everest expedition would believe that more than a century on, the world is still as enthralled as ever by the mystery of Mallory and Irvine. Introduction. A Foot on the Glacier. At 8 a.m. on Tuesday the 8th of October 2024, I sat down in my office at the top of my house in Oxford and took a Zoom call from the Oscar-winning film director of Free Solo, Jimmy Chin. He had been the lead on a National Geographic expedition to Mount Everest. The plan was to climb the mountain from the north side and ski down the Hornbeam couloir, a vertiginous chute of snow and ice leading straight down for 8,500 feet, 2,600 metres, to the central Rongbuk Glacier at the base of the peak. Their attempt was thwarted by atrocious weather, but on the way down the glacier to advance base camp in September, Chin, Eric Rupke and Mark Fisher chanced upon several artefacts from previous Everest expeditions, including a boot that had the remains of a human foot in it. The sock, still recognisable as a woollen Fair Isle design favoured by climbers in the 1920s, had Akash's name tape on the cuff, red stitching on a white background that bore the name A. C. Irvine, the name of my great-uncle Sandy. Eric Rupke, who found the boot, had recovered the first physical evidence of the young man who died high on the mountain on the 8th of June 1924 with his famous climbing partner, George Mallory. Chin introduced the find with great care, concern about my reaction. "I have been on record to say that I do not want to see photographs of my great-uncle's corpse, and I wish it to remain on the mountain." They had removed the boot, sock and foot and handed it over to the Chinese-Tibetan Mountaineering Association, which governs and regulates access to Everest's north side, so there was good